And welcome back to the Carson Anderson Program. Gator and Mark Ryan in for Doug today. Doug will be back with us tomorrow on the show. Taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Had some texts come in here from Dan from Holly. My primary question is, why do they keep bringing back DeJesus into the bullpen? I've watched many games this year, and it feels like every single time they bring this guy in, he gives up runs. I can't believe they wouldn't be able to find somebody else from AAA. The thing is that they don't have a whole lot of pitching at AAA right now. Bullpen arms. It's, you can look through it, and there's guys that have already gotten their chance here with the Tigers, and they didn't do all that great. There's some familiar names down there that are still struggling. Brant Herder is on a rehab assignment, and he's getting knocked around during his rehab assignment. So, yeah, I don't know.
One of my favorite moments hosting with you is when I was sharing my road rage story, Gator, and we had that moment where we're like, hey, who is the Tigers' bullpen arm when you see him in the game? You go, hey!
Where you get upset?
Where you get upset. Your hand's in the air and you're like, not this guy again. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I've had those feelings. I'm trying to think who that guy
is. Hey!
It's just offensive to see him come out into the field.
Every time. I was getting there with Will Vest. I really was getting there with Will Vest.
Yeah, I like Will Vest, and understand he was dealing with an injury, and then obviously he's got an injury. It's too bad because he used to be one of the most reliable arms to come out of the bullpen. It's a tougher question because I feel like they've gotten rid of those guys.
It changes by the month, though. Like Drew Anderson was that guy for me, and then he's been better.
But now he's pitched better, yeah. And look, Finnegan is getting to be one of those guys. But I recognize they have to have him. They need him. And it's not like he's got a 7 ERA. His ERA is in the mid threes, but yeah, please be better. But DeJesus is getting to that point. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's frustrating. When it comes to, you know, star power on this team, I think they have one star right now, and it's Dylan Dingler. I think they have a second star in the making with McGonagall for sure. And your point about Riley Green is interesting. Because here's a guy who's all-star the last three seasons. And during this time, he is the only Tigers outfielder to make three straight all-star appearances other than Al Kaline. That's it. It's Al Kaline and it's Riley Green to do it three straight years. Riley Green, to me, is a really good player, but I don't think he's a star. I think if he were able to combine what he did last year with this year, you might elevate him to that status. But he's not putting up the power numbers. He had 36 home runs last year. He's got 16 this year. But he's a consistently good player. 816 OPS is good. And it's, by the way, ironically, it's the same OPS that Dylan Dingler has right now. But that's where Dylan Dingler has fallen during his, you know, 3-for-46 slump that he's in. Hopefully he busts out of this, because if the Tigers are going to have any chance moving forward to get to the playoffs, they need Dylan Dingler to be Dylan Dingler again, and they need Riley Green to come back. I think this is a good week not to have Riley Green, because you've got winnable games before the schedule gets tough again next week, and hopefully he's back. But that's that. As far as another star power, I think Troy Melton is trending in that direction as well. Otherwise, there's just a lot of youth that I'm not going to, you know, say that they're star power at this point.
Riley Green, look, he's a guy where if you put a blind resume of him, there's a lot of people we don't put in the Riley Green class that have similar stats to Riley Green. And so he would be the ultimate blind resume guy where you're like, oh, he's only kind of as good as this guy or this guy or this guy. But then you say the blanket statement of he made three consecutive All-Star games, and that kind of blows you away. And it's also why I'm worried about keeping him long term. How much is he going to cost? He's comparable statistically to kind of run-of-the-mill guys in some senses. And then in other senses, he's got 36 home runs in 1 year and three straight All-Star games.
I think that if I were the time, maybe every extension right now is on hold until they figure out the CBA. And we'll see where it is after next season, if they want to go ahead and extend him once they know what the rules are, which is probably the prudent thing to do, because you still have him for a couple more years under arbitration before he hits free agency. Green, Carpenter, and Torkelson, I think, are all that same year after the 2028 season. So you still have a couple more years. But yeah, I hear you, because he's trending in a direction where if he hits free agency, he's likely to get $30 million a year. But if that's the going rate, that's the going rate. And we'll see, again, with the CBA, when the dust clears from that, we're going to have a much better idea of where baseball is, and whether it's it looks like it's a plan in place that is going to stabilize this game for the next decade, or if this is just going to be unraveled and you can just to have haves and have-nots, and then you're hoping the Tigers can be part of the haves, and maybe they are not. 248-539-9797, a telephone number. More text coming in. The Tigers can't win 6 of 10 the rest of the way out and get into the playoffs. They need a run to counter the 6-20 May. That's not true. I mean, right now they're below 500, and so are a bunch of these other teams that are in the wild card hunt, all within a game of each other. In fact, the third wild card team is below 500. If the Tigers play 600 ball the rest of the way, they will in fact be better than 500 the rest of the when the season is all said and done.
You think they get to 500? I mean, this year
they got so close. They got one game,
and then that
series against the White Sox. I believe our playoff team, so I think they are. But it's my 51. My 51% of me says yes. I just barely leaning over there. It's getting tougher and tougher by the day to get there. I believe trading Skubal was a no-brainer, but on the other hand, my eyes really hurting this team. I believe it does say that we're throwing in the white towel, especially without adding any bullpen arms. It's Johnny in Rochester. Toughest thing I had to deal with the trade deadline or to swallow is they didn't add any bullpen arms. I agree with that part of it. Tigers haven't had an everyday third baseman, and Gator here selling hope for a month. LOL. I think they have several candidates who could be an everyday third baseman. I think McGonigal is going to end up being your everyday third baseman long term, because I think Bryce Rainer will be your everyday shortstop.
Yeah, but AJ Hinch has to commit to that, though. Well, stop jerking these guys around.
Well, right now it doesn't have to. Bryce Rainer's not here right now, so you don't have to worry about it. So you can play who you have to at this point, and you've got Colt Keith who plays third base. You've got Hau Yuli who's going to play third base today. These guys are trying to get them the reps as much as they can. The Tigers are trying to win games for sure, but I'm not completely convinced that the higher-ups like A.J. Hinch and Scott Harris, I'm not convinced that they're convinced this is a playoff team either. They're still trying to work things out, and they've got time to work things out, and this is the best way to do it. I have no issue with having Kevin McGonigal play shortstop, or if he plays third base, or if Hau Yuli's playing third, or if Colt Keith is playing third. Not right now. Wait till things have to get defined, and I don't have an issue with this right now.
You're right. An amount of experimenting that doesn't indicate that they believe this is a playoff team.
248-539-9797. Joe is in Commerce. Joe, welcome to 97.1.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
That's good. The injury stuff just kills me. When is Riley Green going to get back? Because I'm convinced that Dylan Dengler is being impacted by Riley Green. I mean, up until that point, it seems like Green's been out a little while. Now I can't remember if it lines up perfectly, but I mean, we got to get these guys back. And I don't know what is Riley Green's issue.
They say that he could be back. I believe it was a hamstring strain as he was. Remember, he had the he got hit on the
hit
the
by
leg.
Pitch.
And then came around scoring from first base on a double, I think, by Torkelson. And he kind of tweaked the hamstring around the bases. So it sounds like they expect him to be back soon. So
yeah, that's. I mean, but do you agree? I mean, I really
no, I do agree. Yeah, I think if you Dylan Dingler started struggling a little bit before Green got hurt, but it's not helping. To not have Riley Green in the lineup and hitting ahead of Dylan Dingler or vice versa. They protect each other. And now the lineup is different every day. Today it's different again with Colt Keith leading off and McGonigal's hitting third. And, you know, they just can't. I guess Hinch has never really settled on a lineup with this team to begin with since he's been manager, though.
Right. But I just think that there's a direct correlation that he gets back. They get a little bit more, you know, I guess everything's in line. Quit moving the lineup around and give those two guys a chance to feed off of each other. I think they got a chance, but it's they got to get him back because I think Dingler's in trouble if if not.
Well, I hope you're right, Joe. I hope that getting Riley Green back unlocks Dylan Dingler, and that Dingler gets back to being like the MVP candidate we were talking about him being literally 10 days ago. We talked about him being a possible MVP candidate. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. I got a question for the critics of the Tigers. I think they may feast on this as well. And then you get the Tiger, the ardent faithful that are also going to react to this question. We'll set this up coming up in 5 minutes. Okay, so when we talk about the Tigers and we say, we've said the last few days here about, is this an entertaining team to watch? And I've really enjoyed this run. And my number one reason for enjoying this run this year is because of the young players. Because we got to see Kevin McGonigal, one of their top prospects, play from day one this season. Because now, it's been a few weeks here, but now we're seeing the other top prospect, Max Clark, the two draft picks from that year, two first-round picks from that year, get a chance to play. And Max Clark looks really good. I love his defensive ability. I like his hustle in the games. And I think that he's taking the right approach. He's very patient right now. He's not jumping on things and being too aggressive. He's not coming in hot. And I think everybody thought he was going to come in hot because he's flashy, has the gold chains, has the eye black, the whole thing, the bandana and the whole bit. But his look does not match the demeanor, if that makes sense. He seems really calm and really grounded. Love that. And then in the middle of that, you've got guys like Hao Yu Lee and Andrew Valencia and Ben Malgiri, and now Brett Callahan, who becomes the first Tiger in forever to hit a triple in his first at bat on the first pitch he sees, and then hits his first home run last night. And this big left-handed hitting guy that just has this big smile on his face the whole time. And okay, that's another one you get excited about. And Troy Melton and what he's turned into is really cool. And now we're seeing Jackson Joe pitch again today, and hopefully, it's a much better outing than what he had his last time, and more reminiscent of the first outing he had this year just a week ago. The youth on this team gives me reason why I'm excited about it. But I know that there are skeptics out there, right? We've seen this before from rookies and guys that come on and they're an instant sensation, then they die out. Whether it's Brennan Bosch or whomever. There's Chris Shelton was another one that got off to a great start and then just didn't even see him. Rob Fick, actually, the Fickster, had a ton of home runs early in his career and then he fizzled out. They've had a bunch of guys like that looked like they showed promise and then it just wasn't there. So I understand some skepticism about it. I want to know from the Tiger fans, and from you too, Mark, are you buying into the youth movement? Do you think that this team is set up for years to come because they've got the guys on this team right now? Like, forget the guys we don't know. The prospects are still in the minors, even though I'm really high on a couple of those guys. We're not going to see them for a couple of years. But we're going to see some of them come in next year. Are you buying in to the youth movement on this team and what Scott Harris is building? Or do you think that it's just the Tigers being cheap? Because that's what skeptics will say. The Tigers just being Ilitch is cheap. He's not going to spend the money. After this season's over, they're going to drop $100 million from their payroll after the season. And after next year, you'll have Javi Baez's contract completely off the books as well. And there's another $20 million off the team. It's just where it is. They're just cheap. Or is this a smart strategy to have? And now we're starting to see the fruits of the labor of what Scott Harris is about as a general manager and identifying younger talent when it comes to the draft.
So I am over the quickest way when I'm on Solo Gator to get run is to do the cheap argument, because they've got a top 10 payroll. They have one of the highest payrolls for a middle market team. They are a middle market team. They did spend money. To call them cheap is to just be lazy and to essentially not know what you're talking about. So that's the quickest way to get run by me is to call and say, ownership is cheap. No idea what the hell you're talking about. At the same time, if this is the route you're going to go, I need, if they miss the playoffs this year and the odds are they will, I'm curious if that's a 51-49 for you. I need that to be a blip and not a trend. I need them to be back in the playoffs again next year. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this is this is a youth movement that's really taking you a step back, and it's going to feel like what a missed opportunity with a team and a core group that was almost there. And now we're starting over again. I don't have the patience in me, and I know a lot of Tigers fans feel the same, to just have another start over, another reboot. But if this can be not a reboot but a reload, not a rebuild but a reload, I'd be down with that.
Do you think it is? And I know I recognize you want the proof of concept, and that's right. Totally understandable. But, you know, doing what we do for a living, we kind of call our shots early on this. We plant our flags, as we say on the show. Do you think that they are in the right direction? Like, obviously, they can still make the playoffs this year. That can happen while they are infusing all this young talent.
I believe they, if Scott Harris is willing to do something he hasn't yet done, which is go out and add a significant piece to the lineup in the offseason, yes, I do. But I do think they're a piece or two away from that. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, this is going to be a playoff team next year, because I believe in the young guys, and I do believe he's going to add something. But I know that there's not a lot of hope from Tigers fans that he will, because he hasn't. But the cheap notion has got to be flushed.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a cheap thing, but I think some people are going to say that because, you know, they're skeptical and they're snark, and they don't like the way Ilitch is running this team, and they want to get back to the World Series, and you're not going to do it with a bunch of rookies. 248-539-9797. Dan is in Ypsilanti. Dan, you're next up here, 97.1.
Hey, thanks. I don't know if I'd go with cheap, but I think I might go with unserious about building a contender. I mean, if he goes out and gets, the missing mythical right-handed bat and a couple of real bullpen arms, then it's like, yeah, okay, well, I see what we're doing. This is all going to work out. But if he goes out and doesn't change the lineup, even though it's the same lineup, it's different, right? Or just keeps expecting rookies to come up and doesn't spend money or does the bargain bin, you know, piecemeal stuff, then, you know, it is what it is, and we're not as serious about competing than some other franchises.
So with the right hand, the mythical right-handed bat, as you said, what if that's found in Andrew Valencia? What if that's what he is? You know, he's gotten off to this amazing start in just a few weeks. He is destroying left-handed pitching. He's destroying most pitching, but specifically left-handed pitching. Can he be that guy?
I think that we've gotten very, very lucky that some of the call-ups and rookies this year have been as good as they are. I don't think anybody expected McGonagall to be a 5-WAR player. And if you say that you did, you are Kevin McGonagall, which is nice, I guess. But I want to see somebody with an established track record instead of just banking on a bunch of rookies or unproven platoon guys making it work, because that didn't work this year with McKinstry and Vierling and Jones.
So you don't buy into the youth movement then?
I buy into it, and as long as he bolsters it with additional pieces and free agents or
exactly.
Trades or something
exactly.
Real.
Nailed it, Dan.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Dan. And the problem is, Mark, is that we don't know what the offseason is going to hold because of the CBA. This is a weird offseason. And when addressing this, I try to distance that and say, okay, let's throw out the CBA talk. Let's just assume it's a normal offseason in baseball. If it's a normal offseason in baseball, I agree with that, because this team has to rebuild the bullpen. They don't have one. And I think they have to get serious about that. And that's where they need to spend the money. They probably also need to go out there and get another starting pitcher. Framber Valdez it's hit or miss with him, and you need to be way more hit than miss. And unfortunately, it's becoming more of a 50-50 mix than a 60-40 mix. And that's not good enough. And you know, again, this is, I think it's Scott Harris's Achilles heel is identifying free agent pitchers. He hasn't been able to do it. He's been able to trade, and that's fine. And he's been able to identify talent in the draft, and that's fine. Minor leaguers have definitely been developed. But when you get to the offseason and you see the Tigers have signed free agent pitcher blank, I'm like, oh, no.
With every year there being an Alex Cobb, every year there being a Justin Verlander, a $10-plus million pitcher, an eight-figure guy who is not even playing for this team. So again, in my opinion, you just mentioned Achilles heel. I did something to my Achilles heel on Friday. Wasn't good. I need him to stop saying blocking players. You need some help in the lineup. You got to have some help in the lineup. it'd be great. They may not need a pitcher if Reese Olson comes back to form, but if you're giving me the BS line of didn't want to add a bat because we're blocking players, my patience is done with that.
Well, but I don't know how many guys he's done with it. I don't think we've heard him say that too much this year. They've given these guys a chance.
He just said it about the bullpen. Why didn't you go get a bullpen guy? Didn't want to block the...
He said about a bullpen?
Promise there's nobody in
the bullpen you're blocking.
I promise you. In his press conference that he just did after the deadline. That was the last question, and it was the question that pissed me off the most because it was like, why didn't you go get a bullpen arm? The price is number one. Didn't want to block other guys, number two.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same number if you want to text as well as we continue here on the Carson Anderson program. Doug will be back tomorrow. Mark Ryan with us today. We've got Tiger Baseball coming up at 12:10. Tigers and Pirates, that first pitch coming around 12:35 with Paul Skeens on the hill against Jackson Jobe. That sounds like it could be a really, really interesting matchup. We'll get into some of the stuff going on with the Lions as well and continue to take your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. So yesterday we had I think it was the ESPN story that came out and had the ranking of the NFL teams 1 to 32, who has the brightest future, and kind of looking at the years 2027 to 2029, those three seasons there. Who's got their window of opportunity here? And the Lions ranked third, which I thought was a little bit higher than where they should have been, but I understand why they had it there. I think there are a couple teams definitely I'd have ahead of Lions, and I think the Lions are in this second tier of teams that I could see them anywhere from, say, 5 through 10, something like that. And yet they were at 3. And I understand the reason for hope that the window is here because they've got the quarterback that settles things down, even though he's not dynamic with his feet. He's incredible with what's between his ears, and he gets the ball where it has to be. Throws 30 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, book it. That's what he does. At least it's what he's done for the last 3 years he's done that. They've got weapons around him. All these the weapons are young. It's not like St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Jamison Williams and Sam LaPorta are old guys. These are younger players, and three of those guys are signed long term. And LaPorta probably gets a deal after this season or during the season. And they've got the best left tackle in football. There's reason to be optimistic about the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. They've locked in Jack Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson. I think they have the right coach with the right mentality. And this year, I like how they've gone about more business-like approach this year after failing to make the playoffs last year. They're pissed about it. They got a giant chip on their shoulder and go do it. Now, there's holes in this team for sure. But based on the signings that they've made, re-signing their own guys who would be free agents, that's the philosophy they've gone with. And I know a lot of people don't love that because they like the bright, shiny things that are players from other teams that people covet, because they're on somebody else's team, the grass is always greener, and they want them to spend the free agent money or go after this guy. When the Lions have said, yeah, that's great, but if we did that, we'd create a hole, and then we wouldn't have this guy that's on our team. So we would, you know, you're going from one resource instead of just going from your source. I look at this, and I don't disagree with the thought that this team is in a window right now. And Brad Holmes doesn't like to use the term windows, and I think that's ridiculous because it is. There are windows of opportunity. But I think it's directly tied to the contract extensions that they've given out. So I think that idea that ESPN has between 27 and 29, 2027 and 2029, that's where this window is and that's why they like them, I agree with that because of the contracts. But you asked an interesting question, and that is, are the Lions at the beginning, the middle, or the end of this Super Bowl window, this opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl? And I'm more of the thought that they are at the beginning of this window, or close to that. Maybe the beginning already happened a year or two ago, but I think the window is more than just a three-year window. So I still think they're towards the beginning of it, just getting to maybe the middle portion of it, where they can compete for a Super Bowl championship, because this team is very talented. They've got, I think it's 6 of the top 88 players in the National Football League based on the NFL 100 list.
I think the biggest reason they're in, I'm going to say not the beginning, but the middle of the window, is because they've done such a good job of keeping that core together. Now, do you think they learned something about extending Kirby Joseph that maybe we want to wait a little bit longer? Like maybe the bill that they're paying for Kirby Joseph, does that mean Sam LaPorta is going to have to wait longer because they're worried about his potential health and availability, right? Like, we got burned with Kirby Joseph. Sam, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. It's interesting, these ESPN articles. You got different people writing these articles. A few weeks ago, they came out with the best under 25 talent, and the Lions were 23rd because Kirby Joseph, Sam LaPorta, Penne, and Jameson no longer fit the under 25 rankings.
If you're not under the age of 25, then you can't qualify, and they don't have many players in it. But if you look at like 25 to 30, they're flooded.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a young roster.
Absolutely flooded. And then you have this article led by Seth Walder that has the Lions third overall immediate future. I think they're in the middle of their Super Bowl window right now, which makes seasons like last year all the more painful because it feels like it was a lost year right entering the middle of the window.
And injuries will rob you of that opportunity. And of course, bad play does too. And I think it was a combination, but I think injuries were certainly the bigger part of that. So if you think they're in the middle of the window, then how long does this window stay open? When is the end of the window?
I'm going to go 3 years from now.
So the 29 season.
29 season.
And I think that's kind of fair. And I forget when Goff's contract is up, but I think it might be 2030 when he's up. And they're going to have to figure something out at that point. I don't know how long he's going to be playing 3 or 4 years from now, but right now I think he's in the prime of his career. But I think that's fair. And maybe we're splitting hairs here with me saying in the beginning, but I think it's like the end of the beginning towards the middle.
Yeah.
You're in the middle. But where do the people have it at? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Or do you think that the Lions are even in the window? Do they even have a window? Are you that disgusted with how things have gone that you're like, this team isn't good enough for it to win a Super Bowl now or in the future? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number, same number to text. Are the Lions at the beginning, the middle, or the end of their Super Bowl window? To the phones we go. Robert is first up in St. Clair. Hey, Robert, welcome to 97.1.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I think they're in the middle of it, but I think they need a different coach. They have an extremely easy schedule coming up. They half of the teams that they play are under 500. Okay, they should win those games, but this coach is not within the top three or four coaches in the NFL. I think you guys would have to agree with that.
Well, great, but you're not going to get one of those other three coaches then, are you?
No, but
why do you want to get rid of the coach?
Well, from the play calling and the chances that he takes, I certainly don't think that he's the caliber coach that our players have right now.
Now, I would disagree. I think Dan Campbell is a very good coach in the National Football League. I think if he were let go by the Lions, he'd have a job tomorrow.
Robert, let me ask you this question. Who is principally responsible for the turnaround the Lions have had?
Well, I would say the general manager.
Okay, so you give the credit to Brad Holmes, none to Dan Campbell.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. You were talking yesterday, and you were talking about how he's learning to become a coach. Okay, learning? We're not here to train a coach. We need a coach immediately because we're in the middle of a
neither one of us said player. That. So I don't know where you come up with that. Maybe somebody else said it on the station. But thanks for the call. No, it's not on the job training anymore, right? I mean, when they first hired him, they gave him the opportunity. They gave him a chance. They saw something that they liked. They got the committee together and they interviewed a bunch of guys. I'm glad Chris Spielman was part of that committee. They loved the energy Campbell had. He had a little bit of run with the Dolphins when he was an interim coach there and had some real positive feedback. And when Dan Campbell came on the scene here, it was interesting to say the least, you know, biting kneecaps and all that in the speeches. And it took a while before it started to pay off, but you could see it. You could see the team and the culture starting to change. And by the end of that first season, it had definitely changed. You get to that second season, and it had absolutely changed. And by the third year, you're winning 12 games, you win the division, you go in a couple playoff games. This team's believing in themselves. They go to a 15-2 season after that. And with all the injuries and whatnot, and then they had a bad game. They had a horrible game in the playoffs against Washington. Can't have a bad game at that time. It's the postseason. It torpedoes everything. And it's exactly what happened. Goff had a terrible game. I could say Ben Johnson had a terrible game with that one. Injuries again last year. I think what we've learned about Dan Campbell is there are things you're going to have to accept with Dan Campbell, and you may not like them. You may not like he's always going for it on fourth down, that he's a gambling man. But if you say that, you have to understand that part of the success of this team is tied into that philosophy. So you can say, I don't like him going for fourth down. Okay, fine. Then you're punting all the time, and guess what? You're probably going to lose some of those games.
The general manager picks the ingredients. The head coach makes the meal. Robert doesn't value the guy making the meal. You still got to put all the ingredients together, make it a cohesive unit, make it a family, achieve buy-in from the players that you have. Dan Campbell has done all of that. Is he without fault? No. But Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are 1A and 1B as being principally responsible for the Lions going from a laughingstock to a legitimate contender year after year.
Yeah, they've definitely, I mean, look, I'll give you an instance where Dan Campbell coached this team up with Jared Goff. Jared Goff was a bit of a reclamation project because I think he was shattered by what happened with the Rams, that Sean McVay had given up on him, cast him aside, thrown him under the bus, ran him over with that bus, and then had to come back to him and say, hey, I know we did that to you, but we need you to play this playoff game. I know it's just a week after surgery on your hand. Can you do us a favor? And he goes out and he wins the playoff game. And then he still gets cast aside. And they end up trading him to the Lions as part of the staff.
Blindsided him in the meantime.
Yeah. Gets traded here. And at that time, nobody wants to come to Detroit. And nobody knows what's laying in wait with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. They don't know. And that first season was a rough season for the first few games. And Dan Campbell had a heart-to-heart with Jared Goff about, hey, we're going places, but we're not going to go anywhere unless you get better. We have to get you to be a better player. And from that moment on, Jared Goff played at a much higher rate. That's coaching players up. Now, is he the best coach in the National Football League? Nope. But he is, I think he's probably in that second tier of coaches, maybe at worst the third tier of coaches, but not to the point where I'm looking to replace him.
He's not the problem. He's not the thing standing in the way of you and winning a Super Bowl.
I don't think he is, but I think people might think that. Some people do. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Are you in the beginning stage, the middle stage, the end stage, or no stage and thinking that this team has a Super Bowl window? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Talking about the Lions' window of opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Yesterday, ESPN thought the Lions ranked third when it came to, you know, teams that have this window, that they're going to be a force in the future in the years 2027, 2029. I think when you sync up everything with all the contracts that they've given out, the extensions they've given out to keep this core group together, this is why we say there's a window. Brad Holmes doesn't like the term window. We do. So we'll talk about that.
I think he feels like that corners him.
Yeah.
Right. And but the decisions he's making show that he believes he's in a quote unquote window of opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would they be making the decisions they're making to ensure that their core is all re-upped at the same time?
Yeah. The tough job for him, and you're right, it's about putting himself, painting himself in a corner, is that at some point you're going to have to start to transition and look to the future beyond the guys you give an extension to. At some point, there's going to be life without Jared Goff, life without Jahmyr Gibbs. And you don't want to have to say, okay, now we're going to have to revisit how to rebuild this team. You'd like to be able to say you just like Ohio State or Georgia, you just reload, like what college football is like. And you know, we'll see if they get to that point. And I guess that's why he doesn't want to look at, that could be why he doesn't look at windows, but we do. We like the windows. We like talking about the windows. So are they at the beginning of this Super Bowl window, the middle, or the end? And when we say Super Bowl window, it's the opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl, legitimately compete. And I think this, you know, it's funny because this window has been open for a little bit here. They literally got to the NFC Championship game just a few years ago. And then they had a 15-2 season. But then last year happened. And really, it's the injuries they've suffered over the last 3 years that have just been devastating to the team. And, you know, in large part, the team that ends up winning that trophy at the end is the team that was able to survive injuries. And nobody, the Lions are not using an excuse. I do. I'll say, and it's more of a, to me, it's a reason. It's not an excuse. I think you can be honest about it and say, yeah, losing your star pass rusher, that affects things. Losing your star defensive tackle, that's going to affect things. Losing your two all-pro safeties, that's going to affect things. But how do you get past that? And that's why this year is really important, because they're going to have to get past the safety issue. They're going to have to get past the fact that they're on paper right now, their secondary looks like mung. And maybe that's being a little harsh, or maybe it's being kind, however you want to look at it, but it doesn't look all that impressive.
Well, I think what's really interesting is the national difference between, you know, nationally, not many are considering the Lions to be a contender this year. Yeah, I've seen a couple people list them as a sleeper, but nobody's expecting much nationally. That couldn't be more opposite to what is going on in our city here, which is where, you know, I think there's going to be a verdict rendered on this core after this year if they don't achieve their potential. Fans have had enough of the injury reason or the injury excuse. I get the sense in this city it really is put up or shut up time in 2026.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I thought the Free Press had an interesting headline to an article today that said, can the Lions survive the injury to Cade Mays? When you talk about the center who's going to miss the first probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 games of the season as he recovers from a wrist injury. And it's a legit question to ask, because it's all part of this season that we have high hopes for. I had somebody ask me the other day, you know, win total, where do you think they're at? And I'm like, I have a hard time saying anything other than 12-5.
I was there before the Cade Mays news.
Well, I'm still there because I think the start of the season, it's still, fortunately for the Lions, and this is all on paper, of course, it favors the Lions because they're playing teams like New Orleans and Carolina and Arizona. I forget what the fourth team is in that mix. That it seems like it's a...
New Orleans, Jets, Carolina,
Jets,
Arizona.
Jets are the other team. And then, of course, they play Buffalo in that second game of the year. But, I mean, does that still look like it's 4-1? Kind of. Like, I'm not scared of what they have in Carolina. And that might be the biggest test outside of Buffalo. But we'll know a little bit more this week with the preseason game they have, and just to look at the offensive line and see how it looks. I don't have any concerns about the star players on this team. I have concerns about the offensive line, which I think the headline of that article was interesting. And surviving the injury to Cade Mays means getting to the 6th game or 7th game of the season, and hopefully that your team is, after 7 games, that they're 5-2.
At worst, you know, 4-3, right, still afloat.
Yeah, but they're ready to roll once they get him back. But, of course, injuries are a large part and will play a role with everybody else on the team. Some text coming in. Can we say 35% of the window? Not quite the beginning, not entirely the middle. Dom from Holly. I mean, I guess if you want to throw that percentage at it, sure. But that's kind of where I'm at. It's not quite the beginning. It's not quite the middle. It's somewhere in between there. Mark is more in the middle. I'm more towards the beginning, but... yeah, I think we're basically in the same area. I do like the idea that, okay, does this window start to close in 2029? Maybe. I believe the turnover is year to year, that the window is year to year. That's from Flea on a Roof. Except that the turnover in players, they not from the core.
No, the core is there. It's the core is locked in. Yeah, it's when you have that core, your window is elongated. But this is a critically important season, and the schedule couldn't line up better for him. Critical. Right,
very critical.
There you go. Two most difficult games don't come until the end of the year.
Well, Buffalo in the beginning of the year is going
to
be tough.
But back-to-back games, right? Back-to-back difficult games at Chicago, at Green Bay. I mean, who could ask for anything more?
Yeah, we'll see how Chicago is.
Ooh. What's your forecast? From first to worst?
Gators never liked, ever since Ben Johnson.
Well, I'm exactly the same. Okay. I'm totally the same. I've been vilified for that. And
Gators
it's
worse. Whatever you think you are, I think Gators worse.
I mean, you know.
The Hammond Bears.
Yeah, the Hammond Bears are, we'll see where they're at. I think the quarterback's awfully talented, but, I mean, he completed less than 60% of his passes last year. I think he plays hero ball too often, and I don't know if he's going to be able to absorb everything that the god of coaching, Ben Johnson, has to offer him over there. I wonder
the god of coaching may want to focus on that defensive side of the ball just a wee bit.
I wonder if Ben Johnson's just going to get fed up with mistakes if they start to come. But it's a talented roster for Hammond. They look good. The Lions are in the middle of a six-year window. That's Sammy B. I don't believe you can say that the window is because you don't know what the Lions are going to draft or trade for in the next 3 years. Well, I think you can do that without looking at that. I think what does the roster look like right now? Of course they're going to supplement the roster and complement the roster as the years go by. But for right now, what's the window? Beginning, middle, or end? We've got Tiger baseball coming up shortly. The Tigers and Pirates, third game of that series. Paul Skeens and Jackson Job, that should be really interesting. We'll talk a little Tigers next here on 97.1.